IDXers, welcome to MarketScope. I'm Phil Wayne. For those who were not able to attend the 1992 National Radio Club Convention, MarketScope is ecstatic in presenting Omaha's newest radio station.
And we'll be back with more of Dr. Dean talking about ailments which cure DXers, severe alcoholism and that. And more in just a second.
This is Talk Radio, AM 640, KNRC, Omaha.
KNRC, WNRC, FM 99, and a little bit of music there from, well, that's Patti Smith. Who else would it be? Phil Wayne in drag, perhaps? I say not. This is the National Radio Club Convention for 1992, and this is KNRC AM 64, FM 99.3, broadcasting sometimes in mono, sometimes in stereo, and also saying the things that they won't print in the newspaper, and doing much of a lot of nothing. So if you came for it, it is here at the convention. Dick Truax, he's one tough customer. What kind of a beer does Dick Truax drink? He drinks his own beer, Dick's beer. One big jug, Dick's beer. Get on it today.
And 40 nights. Yep, that's what it takes. 40 days and 40 nights.
What takes 40 days and 40 nights?
The U.S. Postal Service from Mansville, New York to any place. Send your orders in quick. 40 days, 40 nights.
Your convention station gives you a chance to receive an official KNRC WNRC QSL card just by sending us 15 to 20 minutes worth of program details from the convention station. Reports which are verified correct will receive a brand new NRC QSL card. Reports that are not correct are SOL.
Window Coupe, you're the toughest machine in town.
Love Child by the Supreme. Scott Douglas here about, 10 before 1? Is that right? And we're horsing around. We're going to be here a few more minutes goofing off here at KNRC. That's Music Power Selection from the Solid Gold Survey. And what else can we tell you? Well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow morning, just want to give you a little couple of convention notes. 9 o'clock, be ready. We're going to have the John Bowker's talk, I think. So be ready at 9 o'clock. There's 10 o'clock is another one. I forget who it is. Oh, they're going to kill me for that. But anyway, be ready because the activities start tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So I know I'm probably already putting you to sleep already, so you'll be awake, I'm certainly, by 9.
On September 3rd, the National Radio Club Board of Directors granted a license to KNRC and WNRC to act as a public nuisance. Each year, these idiots, baboons, and bubbleheads come out to play radio, say obscure things, berate the convention host, and generally trash the market with mundane sayings and egotistical slogans like 50,000 watts, music radio, boss radio, and the like. If it were within the power of the National Radio Club's board of directors, we would burn the radio station and hang each announcer by his gonads until he turns blue. But until then, sit back and enjoy it. Here is convention radio.
I get it. Hey, I feel great this evening. I got my Phil Wayne horsing around here. I got my Dick's beer, and there's one other thing I got.
First on the dial, WNRC, where the action is.
We had a little slippage on there. Here's Adventures, 1960, and Walk, Don't Run. KNRC, here's a request for Mike Lance. Solid Gold, 1969, on the official Saturday Night Oldies show. Sagittarius was the group. The year was 1969. I'm Scott Douglas, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to bow out of here for now. We're going to make way. A guy came all the way from WKRP in Cincinnati. His name is Dr. Johnny Fever, and he's going to entertain you next. And so, but before I go, I'm going to play one more absolute rare bird. Believe it or not, it's by the Flirtations.
WNRC!
1969 again was the year for nothing but a heartache, baby.
First on the dial, WNRC.
You're listening to one of America's great radio stations. This is AM 64 and FM 99, KNRC and WNRC. Omaha.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You ain't no friend of mine.
All right. Good evening, fellow babies. You got the doctors. The doctors eating up tonight on the mighty 640 KNRC. And that first song went out to my buddy Chris. He's a real hound dog. And now we got Taylor Dane. The request is going out to my friends, the South Park Runners. Okay, you got the good doctor here, and this is the request and dedication hour, and here is I Can't Dance from Genesis. And remember, you can always say, booger.
Hot sun, beating down, burning my feet just walking around.
Okay, you got the good doctor here at KNIC 640 AM. That request goes out to my good friend Joe back in Pittsburgh. And right now, we got to pay some bills, so we'll be right back. Okay, that goes to my cousin Jimmy back in Monongahela. And here's one for Paul Mott. Hey, Paul, good luck. Okay, now for my friend Tricky Dick in Louisville. Hey, Dick, good luck, babe.
Wilson Phillips and Give It Up. That has some connotations there. Of course, you know what Phil Wayne's... Yeah, you dirty guys. You know what Phil Wayne's love call is. You know, basically, it's get in the truck, girl. Anyway, that's about it for me. Got another bozo coming up to the microphone here on the convention station, AM 64 and FM 99. And we'll see you in whatever. And right now, let's take a little sip of our hometown beer.
Chris Cuomo on your radio here at National Radio Club Convention Radio, WNRC FM and KNRC AM. The Golden Oldie Show. We're not much for originality in names here. Here's Junior Walker and the All-Stars. What does it take to win your love on NRC Radio? Emotions with Best of My Love on NRC Radio, KNRC AM 64 and WNRC FM 99.3. We're convention radio for Omaha, Mayberry with Skyscrapers. Right now, we'll blow the dust out of your speakers here with Steppenwolf and Born to Be Wild on NRC Radio. ELO with Evil Woman, and now here's the Flaming Ember with Westbound Number 9 on NRC Radio. NRC Radio, WNRC FM, and KNRC AM, and we'll be back with more of the music you remember from the station you wish you could forget right after this. Three Dog Night with Shambhala from 1973 on NRC Radio, and you know... That's Christy with Yellow River here on NRC Radio. Get a Yellow River going after drowning a couple Dick's beers right now. We're going to go with Andy Kim and Rock Me Gently. I'm Chris Cuomo. I'm out of here, and Mike Lance is up next on NRC Radio.
WNRC, the convention station with music power.
WNRC with yours truly, the gone goody from the nitty gritty city, brother Mike Lance. I'm here to put more dips in your hips, more glide in your stride, more con in your strut. And if you can't dig it, you know you got a hole in your soul. On the stations with a happy difference for all of the convention. This is Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels from 1966. And Jenny, take a ride. Good afternoon, everybody. Sing your song.
On the dial, WNRC, where the action is.
Oh, I love those jingles on WNRC, KNRC. These are the loving spoonful, and
you believe in magic.
Oh, this is not the real Don Steele, is it? I don't think. Oy vey. Anyway, this is yours truly, the gone goody from the nitty-gritty city, brother Mike Lance. I'm here to put more dips in your hips, more glide in your stride, more cut in your strut. And if you can't dig it, you know you got a hole in your soul. My, my, my. I feel so good, good, good. Anyway, I want to tell you that I'm having a great time over at the NRC convention. And any DXs out there that are listening, look out now. My, my, my. I want to say good morning to... Fred. Hello, Fred.
Howdy.
And I want to say hi to Chris and Uni and everybody out there listening, and to Terry. And now we have much more music, much more often.
First on the dial,
WNRC.
1965, solid gold. Back in Miami, there was a radio station that couldn't even play this song. It was WQAM. But... when WFUN went off the air, they played it. And this is called Fun, Fun, Fun from WNRC and KNRC. Good afternoon. Oh, those are the Beach Boys as they slowly fade out in the distance. Fred, was that on the 45?
Oh, I think so.
Okay, because it's not like the way the album version is kind of packaged where it kind of fades out. But anyway, I want to remind you... everyone, if you're driving out there, please drive with extreme caution and care everywhere. And I started a new driving school, Fred.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's called the Lookout Now Driving School. Anyway, now we'll be back right after these messages.
WNRC!
Music power!
Music power is what we got. These are Tommy James and the Shondells, 1968 Gold Money Money.
Come now, Slim.
Fifteen minutes before the hour of 12 o'clock on a fine, fine Friday, September 4th. Right, Fred?
Right.
1992, a day that will live in infamy. My, my, my. Lord have mercy. Look out now. This is yours truly, the gone goody from the nitty-gritty city, brother Mike Lance. I'm here to put more dips in your hips, more glide in your stride, and more cut in your strut. And if you can't dig it, you know you got a hole in your soul. They don't say that on Y100 or Waxy. And Waxy used to be a great station. Whoops. I'm trashing the market. Am I allowed to do that?
Why not?
Miami radio is lousy, gang. If you ever go down to Miami, there's so many Spanish stations, it's not funny. Anyway, it's 14 minutes before 12 o'clock.
And now you know the rest of the story. I'd like to thank Ernie and the whole convention gang out there in Omaha for showing everybody a good time. We did have a lot of fun. And it was great to see a lot of old faces and meet some new ones. And drink a lot of Dick's beer. And speaking of a guy who drank a little too much Dick's beer and probably is still recovering, here's John Bowker.
Historical moments in radio broadcasting. Hello again, everyone. This is John Bowker. And today I'd like to read to you from the opening passages of a chapter entitled What We Thought of the Columbia Broadcasting System, as it appears in a book published by Hastings House in New York. The book is called American Broadcasting, a source book on the history of radio and television by Lichty and Topping. This will be chapter 23, and it begins, Sunday, the 18th of September, 1927, witness the debut of the long-heralded Columbia Broadcasting System. The evening of Sunday, the 18th of September, witnessed your humble correspondent, tear-stained and disillusioned, vowing to abandon for all time radio and its works and pomps. We have since recovered, and we'll go on with our story. The broadcast itself divided itself into three successive parts, descending in quality with astounding speed. Part 1, The Vaudeville. The program came on in the afternoon after a half hour's delay due to mechanical difficulties, a heinous sin in this day of efficient transmission, but excusable perhaps in a half hour old organization. This opening program at least was auspicious. The performers were of superlative excellence. Bits of a light opera were well sung, and a quartet gave a stirring rendition of an English hunting song. A symphony orchestra played some Brahms waltzes, and a soloist sang Mon Homme in so impassioned a fashion that she must have swooned on the last note. Then a dance orchestra concluded the program with some good playing. The offerings were of such high quality that it was doubly disconcerting to have them strung together in a shoddy continuity, especially with such stupid and overdone continuity as the "And now parting from Paris, we will journey to Germany" type of announcements. Part 2 of the program was called The Uproar. Now, uproar, let us hasten to explain, is Major J. Andrew White's way of pronouncing opera. We seek not to poke fun at this announcer. He's one of the best that we had at that time, although we think both Quinn Ryan and McNamee outdid him in the recent fight broadcast. Incidentally, everyone, this book was published in 1927. But his habit of tacking R's on the end of words like Americar and Columbiar doesn't fit into the highbrow broadcast as well as it does a sports event. Anyway, The Uproar was The King's Henchman by Deems Taylor. Evidently, no effort was spared to make the broadcast notable. A good symphony orchestra was utilized, capable singers were employed, and Deems Taylor himself was entrusted with the duty unfolding the plot. But after all, it was just another broadcast. Musical programs into which a lot of people talked, and they injected simply words that would not work very well one way or another. One or another had to predominate, the words or the opera. Either made it a straight recitation with musical accompaniment, or straight music with only a sparing bit of interpretive comment. Anyway, that's the way it was. Now, part 3 of the program was The Effervescent Hour. Oh dear, whether are we drifting, is the subtitle. You have all heard the ancient story of the glazier who supplied his small son with a stack of stones every morning to go about breaking windows so he could go around later that day and fix them. Well, comes now a radio advertiser who deals in stomach-settling salts with a program guaranteed to turn and otherwise sour the stomach for the most robust of listeners. The Effervescent Hour was the first commercial offering of the new chain, CBS, and far and away the worst thing we have ever heard from a loudspeaker. Well, what can we tell you more about the inauspicious start on September 18th, 1927, of CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System? October has seen the birth of many new stations over the years. KRLD started in October 1926. WNDE in Indianapolis, remember that one, began operations during the same month of 1924. And then one of the more confusing starts, WJZ, started by RCA Company in Newark in October 1921. That station, of course, was on the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company during its early years. And the Blue Network, as you know, the Monday after Pearl Harbor in 1941, that Blue Network became the American Broadcasting Company. For years, then, after that, WJZ, that had then moved to New York City, was the headquarters of the American Broadcasting Company, and the call sign WABC in New York was the flagship station of, you guessed it, the Columbia Broadcasting System. So we can say that WABC in New York started also during October 1921. For Historical Moments in Radio Broadcasting, this is John Bowker.
And it's time now to hear what you have to say, the musings from members. If you got something on your mind, give us a call sometime on the Action Line, area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day for National Radio Club DX Audio Service members only.
Well, hello, members. This is Tim Stewart in Tallahassee, and I just wanted to make a comment. I think that May, June, July, August, and September. That's 5 months of Jacksonville on the market scope is absolutely ridiculous. If you can't cover the AM market in one issue and the FM market on a market in the other and do a little serious editing, then I'm seriously considering canceling my subscription to the magazine. The Market Scope was one of the reasons that I wanted the magazine and why I got it. But to spend almost a half a year on one market is just totally absurd.
Good morning, Fred. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts. This is the 3rd of September. Just wanted to tell you that if anybody is trying to find WCMX 1000 in Leominster, you won't find them anymore. As of the 23rd of the month, they became silent. They are off the air. They have been sold. WEIM 1280 in Fitchburg is the only station that serves the Montachusett area of north central Massachusetts. So WCMX at 1000 in Leominster is now silent. Take care. Have a good day, all.
Hello, DXers. This is Victor Schmidt reporting from Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is September the 5th. I have some comments here. Mike up in Brooklyn, New York. Yes, I can just barely get WWJZ down here. I can understand what's going on. I can hear the adult music, but it's extremely hard to hear because of the splatter from WMAL radio. Tom Jackson in Illinois, your problem with AM reception. A few months ago, I mentioned the AM antenna from the Harrington catalog. It really does work. If you want some information, their number is 800-622-5221. It really does work. And Pat Cassidy, I do like your idea. Fred, I hope you do change the market scope a little bit. I do like to hear what people can get on the radios to see what it's like scanning the AM band. And I also would like to see a DX audio service for FM and TV as well.
Hi, Mike Dukin from Ladysmith, Wisconsin, with a couple of interesting things. First of all, I'd like to say, Fred, I really enjoyed your article about CKLW, and it is really too bad or disappointing that we might lose them, even though lose a big station like that. It also brings to mind another development in Canada, CFYN on 1050 in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, which is a station that's been coming, that comes in, or used to come in really good up here. Well, they finally met their demise on August 30th. I first heard about it on the program Signals. Apparently what happened, or the way I understand it, is that the company Telemedia decided to sell the station or merge it with the group that owns the other station, CKCY, I think that's what they're called. And sure enough, last Sunday evening, I picked them up, and they were running a continuous tape loop on 1050, telling people where to tune for the best country and sports and Toronto Blue Jays baseball, and they're calling it Q Country 104.3. So no more CFYN in Canada. But more, though, collider changes in Wisconsin, though. WCOW in Sparta, Wisconsin, on 1290 changed their call letters to WKJA, and they're calling it K Country 1290. And more locally, WAQE AM in Rice Lake on 1090 has also changed to a country format, calling them themselves True Country, traditional True Country 1090. Well, from here, that's it.
Yeah, Ron Clark from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, calling, and this is for Jerry Starr. He was asking the question, is WSMX AM 1500 still on the air? Yes, they are very much on the air as a black gospel station. They are owned by a company, a corporation, really, of a church and a school and I don't know what all. But that's why you got a recording of a business when you or someone dialed their number. But yeah, they are very much on and very much alive as a radio station. But WSMX is still here and broadcasting. Now, they were silent for a month a year ago, but ever since they've been back on and on as a daytimer at 1500. So please see that Jerry gets this and notes it in his log.
Hi, Fred. This is Chuck Ray in Leamington, Ontario. It's September 14th, and here are some recent local developments. At 0:00 hours this morning, WCXI 1130 AM in Detroit ceased to exist. They're now WWWW and are simulcasting W4 Country 106.7 FM. 15 people got the axe in this one. In Toledo, WWWM 1470 has dropped CNN headline news and gone to a urban format with locally produced programming. WDFX 99.5 Detroit, which has been having financial woes, has applied for the call letters WOWF, so it looks like a format change may be in the works. On this side of the river, Kitchener's CKGL 96.7 and CHYM 570 have swapped frequencies with CKGL in their country and western format, moving to 570, and CHYM's rock moving to 96.7. There's a couple of CRTC hearings scheduled for the 21st and 22nd of September. CHYR 710 day and 730 nights wants the okay to move to 96.7 FM. The other is for the sale of CKLW AM FM in Windsor to the Chum Group. If granted, the once mighty Big 8 will become the Whippy 580 with CKWW in Windsor moving to 800. That's all for now. Take care, everybody, and goodbye.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. On the question why the Panasonic RFB45 only goes up to 280 kilohertz on the long wave band and leaves out the beacon band, I can only speculate that that would be because that band up to 280 kilohertz is used for broadcasting in Europe, and that radio is intended to receive those broadcasts when you're traveling in Europe and not the beacons. By the way, please, please tell me, when you said it's as good as the RF2200, did you really mean that it's as good on AM and FM, including sensitivity, as the RF2200? If that's the case, I'll definitely buy one, so please tell me. As for the question about dial positions on European stations, dial positions such as 208 and 254, these refer to meters instead of kilohertz. Years ago, and still to some extent, European stations measure their dial position in meters. So instead of being 1500 kilohertz, they'll tell you they're at 200 meters. Yes, you definitely could receive all of those stations on your regular AM radio. However, their frequencies are 9 kilohertz apart rather than 10. So you might get frequencies like 647 or 1179 instead of, say, 640 and 1180. But you won't have any trouble tuning those stations. This is Tim Hendel in Miami, and I've just returned from visiting my family in Western New York, from which location many, many Canadian stations can be heard.
It was reported on AM Switch and I think also somewhere else that CKLY, Lindsay, Ontario, on 910 was silent. This is not true. I heard CKLY strong and well about a week ago. Now, I did not listen for a call letter, but I heard several references to Lindsay. So it may be that this station is planning to go silent, but they're not silent yet.
This is Jason Metal calling from Saginaw, Michigan on September 15th. It's a Wednesday, about a little after 9. A couple weeks ago, 104.5, it's a new station in Saginaw. It's WUVE. They play adult rock. It is a satellite format, though. And that's, oh yeah, and 96.9, WSTD is now, they're still a satellite format. They were oldies channel, but now they got a light rock satellite. I don't know if their calls are still the same or what. And that's all from Saginaw. And I agree with the person who said the idea of using 100-minute tapes to the 90s.
Hello, this is Pat Oldheimer from Decatur, Illinois, and I'm an NRC member. As of October 1st, WRVI 97.7 is going off the air, but WCVS is taking its frequency from 1450 to 96.7, but FMB is simulcast on 1450 with 104.5 as of October 1st. And I have another interesting thing I've been doing for several years. I'm recording radio stations of different areas. And I wonder if people would send me or make me recordings of different stations from their area. And I'll give you my name and address. Pat Bollheimer, 2727 North Monroe, Apartment 507, Decatur, Illinois, 62526. And the phone number is, area code is 217-875-7399. And I'd like to hear from different parts of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And I thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary Kettler in Austin, Texas. And here are a few things that are happening around this part of the country in the last few months. Here in Austin, 1530 KOPY, which is in Georgetown, has been silent now for about 6 weeks, and their phone number is disconnected. In Houston, the 790 down there, which is in simulcast with their FM at 92.9, KKBQ has gone from an easy country format to kind of a hit country format, and when they were CHR, they were 93Q. They are now calling themselves 93Q Country. I was in Dallas recently over the Labor Day weekend, and I noticed that the 1190 there, which was KUII, has now become KGBS, and they call themselves the Mighty 1190 Hot Talk. Also, up there, I got somebody on 760 early in the morning about 6 o'clock Central Time doing the original hits format. Now, I don't know who on 760 would be doing that, and I don't know what time zone they were in or whatever, since they didn't give time. Also, WQUE in New Orleans is on 1280 has gone all sports. They're running a lot of Sports and Entertainment Network programming. And that is about it from here. Thanks a lot, and talk to you later.
Hi, Fred. This is Rick Dell calling from Iowa City with some information about the get-together which I had mentioned at the convention in Omaha. I will be hosting the third annual HADX get-together, Hawkeye Autumn DX, on Saturday, October 17th and Sunday, October 18th in Davenport, Iowa, at the Days Inn located at 101 West 65th Street. If you want to make reservations there, the phone number is area code 319-388-9999. And my phone number here, if you want more information about it, is area code 319-337-4780. Thank you.
Hello, audio service members. This is Marty Rimpaugh from Oakland. 1050 KOFY San Mateo is now 10,000 watts by night. They were testing last month, reconfiguring their pattern. They were 1,000 watts at night and 50,000 watts in the day. They are now 50,000 watts in the day and 10,000 watts by night. Just thought I'd let you know.
Okay, Marty, thanks a lot for that information. It is good to know. And I'd like to thank everyone for giving us a call on the Action Line. Of course, our number is area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day. Remember, when you call, please keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to talk. And that's for National Radio Club DX Audio Service members only. You know, it's been a while since we made this clear to our membership, but we have a long-standing policy for gift memberships that you should know about. Now, if during the holiday season you want to buy a gift for someone that really shows you care, why not give them a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service? You know how the DX Audio Service sounds, and chances are a friend or a relative will equally like it. But there is something more that you should keep in mind. When you buy a subscription for someone, we'll credit your DX Audio Service account for 1 month. For each yearly gift subscription, you get 1 month added to your subscription, so it's like giving yourself a present as well. The only hitch is that you have to live in the same country as the gift is being sent to, and the gift is non-transferable except back to the original giver if the person receiving the DX Audio Service gift decides that they don't wish to receive the subscription anymore. The person whom you are buying your subscription for will receive a letter from us advising them of the gift and also a welcoming to the club. It's a nice gift that continues through 1993 with information and news that you can use. So keep us in mind for your holiday shopping. The DX Audio Service. This offer ends December 15th, 1992. Send to headquarters in Lima for additional information or call for additional details. Area code 419-228-4199. Ask for Debbie or myself. That's a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service.
The following article is one that I found in the Watertown, New York Sunday Times in their broadcasting column. I thought it might be of interest to some on the audio service. The tone may be out along with the Cold War. Dateline Washington. A shrill reminder of the Cold War, the emergency broadcast system tone, may be about to go the way of the Cold War itself. For more than 40 years, the tone has been a fixture on the nation's airways, a piercing sound that has interrupted countless radio and TV programs. The Federal Communications Commission requires that broadcasters test their equipment for the emergency alert at least once each week, which means airing the high-pitched tone along with those immortal words. This is a test. This is only a test. But that sonic blast from the past may be fading out. FCC Chairman Alfred Sykes is expected to propose today a sweeping overhaul of the emergency broadcast system, including setting new technical standards, permitting less frequent testing, and giving stations the option of doing away with the tone. Officials are even toying with the idea of holding a contest to let the public devise a new name for the system. A legacy of the Truman administration, the emergency broadcast system, originally known as CONELRAD, which stands for Controlled Electromagnetic Radiation, has never been used for its original purpose, as a mechanism for the president to warn Americans about an impending nuclear attack. Since the 1970s, state and regional officials have used the system to alert radio and TV stations about hazardous weather conditions, such as tornadoes and hurricanes, and local disasters, such as toxic spills or nuclear plant accidents. The Los Angeles Police Department, for example, used the system during the riots in April to ask all off-duty officers to return to work. Public agencies used the system more than 1,400 times last year, according to Helena Mitchell, the system's chief official. However, Mitchell said, equipment is aging, and rewriting the system's technical specifications would encourage broadcasters to replace existing devices with a new generation that is more reliable. The changes the FCC proposes are welcomed in part by the nation's broadcasters, who say that the once-a-week tests are so annoying that they often drive audiences away. The industry says new testing methods make public broadcasts of the tone obsolete, a position endorsed by Sykes. But radio and TV station operators, along with public safety officials, are concerned that the new federal rules will impose some burdensome and counterproductive new regulations. For one thing, replacing old equipment could cost stations as much as $3,000 each, according to an estimate by the National Association of Broadcasters. New equipment in some cases might also be incompatible with the emergency alert systems now in use by state agencies. We have to weigh the costs versus the benefits of overhauling the system, said Michael Rao, the chief scientific official at the Broadcasters Association. If we can find a less intrusive way of achieving the same results, then we'll advocate that. During actual emergencies, the familiar warning tone is sent from a government agency to a master radio or TV station, one that has been specifically reinforced against attack, to alert the station that an announcement is to follow. The master station then relays the warning tone and message along to other stations. The FCC now requires stations to air the 22nd tone, which actually is two tones sounded concurrently, during daylight hours each week to ensure that a station's equipment is working. McKelly Williams, manager of television engineering at the National Association of Broadcasters, said new equipment has been developed that allows the station to test its system with tones that are imperceptible to human ears. The system is planned, regardless of changes, to continue as an emergency warning system for the general public.
Thanks to Ken Chatterton from the National Radio Club Publication Center for that article of interest. And we're not going to have time for Ken Honestchuk with Sports Networks or Bill Hale's Domestic DX Digest, so we'll catch those on the next edition of the DX Audio Service. To close out this edition of the DX Audio Service, oh, one last thing. Remember, if you have an address change or you're going to be updating your subscription or something, remember, all that information comes to us here at the DX Audio Service. The telephone number is area code 419-228-4199. The address is Great Northern Broadcast Company, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio 45802. To close out this edition of the DX Audio Service, some of the 1992 convention.
Before we get too far, I have a presentation to make. I got surprised
by getting the one at the banquet. So I have one to make here tonight to a member of the club who the big old team feels did most of the work in the change of operation from Milwaukee. And so tonight, the big old team wants to give a black plaque to what we feel is the number one man in the club, Ken Chatterton.
Well, you're not going to get much of a speech. I certainly do appreciate it. I certainly appreciate this, but I do want to remind you that it's not one man. I've had quite a team that's been working with me. Ernie pulled me out of a real tough spot. So did Wayne. Paul and Fred have been wonderful to work with, and without them, I couldn't have possibly merited this. Thanks.
Okay, I want to announce we have a 92 convention update page that's available to everyone tonight. If you collect that sort of thing, it's a supplement to your convention booklet. Some last-minute updates, last-minute thank yous on the front, on the back, a list of everybody who's here. Except two, I knew I'd miss somebody, and it's apologies to Todd Brandenburg and Rick Dow. When you get this, write them on here. We have five people here tonight who were here 33 years ago tonight, and I'd like to recognize Ernie Cooper, who's among them, John Kellerman, and Rick Sampson. Come on, Stan.
And that's it for this edition of the DX Audio Service. We'll catch you in 30 days on the November 1992 edition. I'm Fred Volpe at the studios of Great Northern Broadcast Company, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio 45802-5031. 73, and good DX to you.